Well, it is a really important award. There were lots of applicants and lots of really fantastic organisations. So we were really thrilled and surprised to win our category. We were nominated by the Office of the Registrar of Indigenous Corporations for the award in the beginning. That shows that the mob who look after all Aboriginal, oversee Aboriginal organisations around Australia thought we were doing all right. Our story is that in 2000, so 16 years ago, Aboriginal people from really remote part of Australia, Kintore and Kirikora, right out near the West Australian border, wanted to do something to get their family members home on dialysis and couldn't get any support from government. So painted some beautiful pictures, had an auction at the Art Gallery of New South Wales, and raised $1 million to set up our organisation and to start getting people home on dialysis.
That's a very interesting story. So your life started in New South Wales, out of all places, at the other end of the continent.
Well, the paintings were painted out in the desert, but the actual auction that raised the money was at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. So, yes, with the help of Hetty Perkins, who was the curator of Aboriginal art at the Art Gallery at the time. So family members for dialysis patients got together and painted beautiful paintings to try and make life better for people on dialysis. So that was the start. And it meant it was independent money. It wasn't government money. People had an opportunity to build a service that was really based in the cultural priorities of the patients and their families and recognise the importance of being on country with family and having a life, even though you had to have dialysis 3 times a week. So it was a really important step to start getting people home on dialysis in 2004. But then, of course, word spread that people were getting home and people weren't stuck in Alice Springs or Darwin anymore. And so our directors started to get phone calls from Aboriginal people from other communities who wanted help to do the same thing. So from one dialysis machine in Kintore 12, 13 years ago, we're now 24 dialysis machines in 11 places. Pintabee Lurcha directors are helping people to get home all the way from Arnhem Land in the top end of the Northern Territory right down to Warburton in Western Australia. So it's a really good story of Aboriginal people not taking no for an answer, coming up with a new model of care that suited their culture and their country and their family dynamics. Helping people to stay really well and then helping other people in different language groups and across the country to build up the same sort of service.
Yeah. Dialysis is something that can be really, really problematic, not only for people living in remote communities, because I know for a fact that even people who live in more urban areas having to go to a hospital on a regular basis to get their dialysis or 2 or 3 times a week, and it's a very heavy intervention.
So people whose kidneys have failed need dialysis, like the minimum is 3 times a week. It takes usually about 5 or 6 hours. It really is the equivalent to having more than a part-time job. People feel quite ill a lot of the time. You know, the dialysis machine's never going to be as good as your own kidneys were. And so it is hard enough for people who English is their first language, who are living near a hospital and can stay in their own homes and have the same social networks. But imagine an Aboriginal person who has lived in a remote community all their lives. English might be their 5th or 6th language. So their whole lives are based around being in that place with their family, on that country, passing on their cultural heritage and their stories to their grandkids. And suddenly they're told that they have to move 10-hour drive away to Alice Springs or Darwin to be close to a hospital, and that basically they're never going to be able to go home.
That's a life and death matter. Cause...
And people will do it and be miserable and sick and homesick and worrying for their families and worrying for their sacred sites and their country. Or some people decide that the cost is just too much and decide that they'll just stay on country and pass away. The rates of kidney disease in remote Australia are very high, and a lot of people who are starting on dialysis are in their 20s, 30s, 40s. You know, often people are still trying to work and look after children and are having to leave for this treatment. So it can be quite devastating.
No, I can relate to that. I know myself, coming from a third world country, people go to hospital, and the only way you can actually survive sometimes is just having your close relatives giving you emotional support, giving you cultural support, because in a hospital environment, people are talking, even if you're speaking the same language, they are talking to you about illnesses and very technical terms, so you're constantly depressed and constantly completely isolated, and having your loved ones nearby helps your recovery, and you also stay kind of productive in your community, because people think being productive in a community is just going to work, but it can be productive, like for elderly people, being able to advise the younger ones, being able to look after the younger ones and tell them the stories, where they come from, how, you know, it's a much greater social issue having to undergo this kind of treatment as good.
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of the things that we did really early on too was we started the Purple House in Alice Springs, and the Purple House is like people don't sleep there, but it's like a home away from home for people who have had to leave their country. So at the Purple House there's a couple of dialysis machines, but there's also a bush medicine business, so people can make bush medicine and have an income and pass that cultural knowledge on. Yeah. There's a fire pit for cooking kangaroo tails. We've got a karaoke machine and a guitar and chickens that wander around the garden and say hello. And this is a place that's got the stuff of a hospital in it, but it's run by the patients and their families. So it's like unconditional love, really, that people can come if they need to ring their family or do their washing, or they're coming to organise their trips back to country or whatever. But there's somewhere where families running it to help people to have some hope for the future.